here. From Mary. Thank you, Mary.
Today's reading is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31, the story of Thomas's encounter with the risen Lord. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "I have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
Well, what a wonderful scripture reading we've had today. Thank you so much, Mary. It's wonderful to know Jesus. There is no one like him. There will never be anyone like him. He is a gift that has come from God. And God has given us a gift, not because he wants to cheer us up or because he wants us to have some celebrations like Christmas and Easter and those sorts of things, but he's given us Jesus because we need Jesus. That's why he's given us Jesus. No other reason, but it's because Jesus, God's gift to us, can meet the deepest need of humanity. He can meet the deepest need in your life and in my life. There is no one else who can do that. We can patch things up. We can put a plaster on here and there. We can send someone on a nice holiday or on a bit of counseling and cheer them up. But Jesus can meet your deepest need permanently and eternally. Isn't that wonderful? And it's a gift that has been given to all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus to you and me. Not just me, but to you. To everyone out there. We can with confidence say that Jesus can meet your need. Hallelujah. What about that? And here we have the story when Jesus had died on the cross and he had started revealing himself to those who were round about him. Now, when he was on the cross, of course, he hung there and there was a moment when he said, "It is finished." What a glorious thing. Now, I guess you looked at that at Easter, I'm not sure. But he said, "It is finished." The purpose that Jesus came for had been completed on that cross. He had done what his Father had sent him to do. And he said, "It is finished." Isn't that wonderful? So as far as our salvation is concerned, everything has been done that needs to be done. It is finished. And it's interesting to see in Revelation that he is standing in the midst of his church, so there's still work to be done in the church. But as far as saving us from our sin, it is finished. You don't need to say Hail Marys or anything like that. God has done the work. We just need to receive it. and enter into it. And we see here that same day at evening, it says, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled. What about that? The disciples, there's another reference to it in Luke, the disciples had shut the doors because they knew that Jesus, who had now been slain in the eyes of the Romans and the Jews, that job had been done. Now they would probably come after the disciples, and they were afraid. They feared for their lives. And they were hiding in this room, and the outer door was locked, and the inner door was locked. And they were in this room, fearful of what might happen. It tells us that here. It says, they were assembled for fear of the Jews. But here we go. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, this is our Jesus. This is our Jesus who hung on the cross, and he said, it is finished. He was put into a tomb. He went down into death and hell, and he conquered hell. He conquered death. He got rid of that the grave clothes. He got through that tombstone. He got the tombstone rolled away. And he traveled to these people. He got through their locked doors. He got through their fear. And here he was right in front of them. And what did he say? Why are you hiding away? No, he didn't. He said the one thing that was longing, it was the longing of God. He said, peace with you. Peace with you. It's finished. I've removed everything that it can keep peace away from you and from me. And that is what God has done. Okay, we say, but all the world's a turmoil. All this sickness, all this dying, all these wars, all these things that have happened, all the ravages of sin over the centuries and the millennia. How can God say peace with you? But through all of this, God has made a way once again where you and I can know peace with him. A deep down peace which is deeper than our experiences, which is deeper than our
understanding.
Lovely. That is deeper than our understanding, that is deeper than the turmoil in our lives, that is deeper than our debts, that is deeper than our longing for holidays, that is deeper than our cars and our mortgages and our retirements, that is deeper than all of these things and these rumors of wars that are going on at the moment and the wars that we've been celebrating, the deaths of so many in the past, this past week, victory over Europe and so on. It goes deeper than that. It goes to the very depths of our humanity. And he says, peace with you. What about that? Isn't that wonderful? All of us can know this peace today. Everybody here can know this peace for themselves because Jesus has done it. But we have to move into it. We have to receive him as our Lord and Savior. We have to take hold of him with all that we are, which means letting go of everything else. Wow. Everyone's so solemn. Look at this. Peace be with you. But when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. I love that. You know, there's so many things he could have shown them. He could have shown them the marks on his forehead where the crown of thorns was pressed, because that would have been very obvious. He could have shown them the lashing on his back, because that would have been raw and awful too, because it was only within a day or two, a few days. He could have shown them those things, but he didn't. He showed them his hands, and he showed them his side, because that is what completed the work. The hands upon the cross. The Romans didn't kill Jesus, you know. He gave up his own life. It's very clear he tells us that in the scriptures. The Romans thought they killed him, but they hadn't. He was already dead. He'd given up his own life. He gave up his life for you and for me. That cross, he hung there for you and for me, for our sin. Wow. And I've got a friend, a preacher friend, and he says, he's died quite a few years ago now, but he used to say, and God was so committed, Jesus was so committed to the cross for you and I that he allowed himself to be nailed to it. What about that? Isn't that amazing? Another friend of mine recently, I'm going to quote this properly, he told a story just last weekend where I was about a man. And this man, if I can find my bit of paper. Oh dear, that's not good, is it? There it is. This man was a soldier in Northern Ireland, and his name was Sergeant Michael Willits. And at 8:24, he was serving in 1971 on the 25th of May in a police station. And a terrorist came into the reception hall of the Springfield Road police station in Belfast. And he carried a suitcase, and there was a fuse sticking out of the suitcase, which was alight and fizzing. It was a bomb. And he put it inside the police station and ran. Inside there was a man and a woman and two children and several police officers. One of the latter saw the smoking case and raised the alarm. The police officers began to organize the evacuation of the hall, past the reception desk, through the reception office, and out into the front. But Sergeant Michael Willits was on duty in the hall, and was on duty in the inner hall. Hearing the alarm, he sent an NCO, that's a commissioned officer, up to the first floor to warn those above, and hastened himself to the door towards which a police officer was thrusting some of those in the reception hall and office. So there were some people gathered in the reception hall. And what he did, he shielded them with his body. Bang! The bomb went off, and these people were alive, and they were fine. But he was critically injured. They took him out on a stretcher into an ambulance, and while he was on the stretcher, these youths were jeering at him, mocking him. He went to the hospital, and he died 2 hours later. That's what Jesus did for you and me. He lay on the punishment of sin for you and for me, and he took it all so that we might not die, but we might live. Isn't that amazing? This man was only a man, but Jesus was God. So loved the world that he gave you Jesus to take the punishment for your sin, for our wretchedness, for our history, for all the stuff that we've been involved with, for all the, I know we're so respectable in child, aren't we? But my goodness, deep down in here there is sin that needs dealing with. And Jesus has taken it all. Bang, bang. Oh, I love this Jesus. Don't you love him? You've got to love him. And there it is. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. I bet they were. Goodness me. He come through all of that. Come through all the fear. And you know something? God will come through all of these things for you to reveal himself to you. You think you can lock yourself away from God? You cannot. You think you can hide behind closed doors? You think you can say, well, the job's done because he's been buried and dead over there? It's not done. God is not done with you. I want to tell you that in the name of Jesus. God is not done with you. If you don't know him yet, God is not done with you. He can break through all that stuff, even your fear of him, and come and set you free. Watch that clock. Oh, look at this. And Jesus said to them again, just in case they hadn't got it first time, peace to you. Wow. Not a big stick to beat you up because you haven't lived a Christian life or lived it very well, but peace to you. Wow. Isn't that lovely? It's a message from God. This wasn't just a man who had hung on a cross. This was God. This was the one who holds the universe, who engineered the universe. This is the one who keeps it all together. This is the one who created man by putting his hands with the Spirit and with the Father into the ground and creating mankind. It's the same one. This is God standing in front of these people and saying, peace to you. Who else would you want to go to? Can't get a doctor around here anyway, can you? As the Father has sent me, look at this. I love this. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. How did the Father send the Son? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that's how you and I will be sent out into the world. Because God so loves the world that he sends you to those who are lost. To tell them about Jesus. And it's you go because you love. You don't go because somebody's organized a program or because someone's tried to say, we've got to go and evangelize, whether you like it or not. They used to stand us in Trafalgar Square years ago with my brother over there and sister. In Trafalgar Square, and there's a lady there, and she used to push us out saying, go and share the gospel. Go and share. No. God sends you. But he sends you with his love. And when you go to people, it's because you love them. Hallelujah. You love him. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And here we go, he says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, what a strange thing to say. You would expect him to have given a package with the alpha tapes in it, wouldn't you? He said, this is what you need. No. He says, right at the core of my gospel is forgiveness. Absolutely right at the core. Forgiveness of sin. You find, don't you, in any relationship, there are times when we need to forgive. And if we don't forgive, we will never be able to go. We will never be able to freely share the gospel with people if we haven't forgiven someone. We won't. It will paralyze us. But if we know God's forgiveness and we forgive others of anything, Jesus said, how many times do you forgive? 70 times 7. That's quite a few. That's 490. For the same one offense. But Jesus forgave us everything on that cross. And when you and I become like that and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive, we will find that unforgiveness is replaced by love and compassion. That unforgiveness is replaced by a calling to go out there. As Jesus was sent by the Father, so we'll be sent by him. We will find there is something within us which loves others. Yeah, we might not be very good at showing it. We might be shy and retiring like I am. But you know what? There's something that God puts within us which loves. Because he puts himself in us, which loves. He doesn't teach us how to love, but he loves through us. It's a wonderful thing. Hey, look at this. Turn the page. I'm all right for a minute. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. You know, it doesn't really talk much about what the disciples did about that, but I'm quite sure that there were things amongst them that needed forgiving. Oh, why did you desert Jesus at the cross? Oh, why did you try and set yourself up on a throne? Why did you do this? Why did you do that? And I'm sure they had these discussions, but there needed to be this attitude of forgiveness. Attitude of love toward one another, attitude of unity. So that when they talked about forgiveness, they knew what it meant. It's absolutely key to every relationship, Christian or non-Christian. And it says, now Thomas is called in on it, called the twin, one of the 12. I don't want to focus too much on Thomas and on the doubts, because we've heard all that before, I think. One of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. What exciting news. We've seen him. given himself to us. We've seen the Lord. And you know, when you've seen Jesus, we heard earlier on, didn't we, that we see him by faith. But you know, we can experience him in here, in our spirits. And we can know that we have seen the Lord. Yes, we can. I've seen the Lord many times in my spirit. I've had his arms around me on one occasion. I could feel it while I was in bed at night. It says, when Jesus came, the other disciples therefore said, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of his nails. This was 8 days later. And put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side. I will not believe. There we go. And it says, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside. And Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut again, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Did we get the message first time? Did we get it second time? Did we get it third time? Peace to you. Wow. And then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here, look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Now, I don't know if you've ever been for an operation, but after the operation, usually before you wake up, they stitch you up, don't they? And they put plasters on you and bandages on you. And 8 days later, you can't put your hand inside the wound. It's impossible. But Jesus hadn't been stitched up. He hadn't been plastered up. He hadn't covered it up. He hadn't healed himself. The wound was still open. And you know something? The wound is still open for you today. Yeah. Out flowed the blood and the water when Jesus was on the cross, onto the ground, which needed to have the curse removed. Out flowed that blood and that water for you and for me, for washing, for redemption, for our salvation. It flowed out from his side. And it's still open today for you and for me. Yes, it is. One day it'll be closed. One day there will be a time when it's no longer there. But you and I can know the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus today. Just like it was 2,000 years ago. I love the picture because if you know, many of you will know the story of Adam and Eve. And Adam was looking after the world very well, thank you very much. But he was lonely. Didn't have a wife. Didn't have a companion. And God took him and said, it's not right that man should be alone. And he put him to sleep and he cut open his side. And he took out a rib, and a wife was produced for Adam. And it's the same on the cross. When Jesus opened up his side, out came that which would give him his bride for eternity. That's right. And there's a man, I really love a man. He's been dead. I must try and find some people who aren't dead. But this man, Matthew Henry. Have you ever read Matthew Henry? Well, Matthew Henry said this about Adam. It says that woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled on by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near to his heart to be beloved. Wonderful, isn't it? But that's God's picture of what Christ did on the cross. That he would have birthed his church from out of his side. Not from his head to top him, or his feet under his feet to be trampled on by him, but somewhere out of his side that he might be beloved. That he might be protected, near to his heart. And that's the relationship we have with Jesus. That's what he did on that cross. And the side is still open, so you haven't missed out by having left it for 2,000 years. You can come to Jesus today. And you can experience being brought into being part of the bride of Christ, the church, The real church hasn't got a name on it really, apart from the Church of Jesus. But of course, we're all dotted in our various churches all over the place, aren't we? But it's the same Jesus. It's the same Lord. It's the same one who cares for us and loves us. It's the same one who's met our deepest need and made us a people who are redeemed. Hallelujah. Wow. And here we go. Peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Come on, Thomas. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. He went from this person who was a stranger to my Lord and my God. He went from a realm of the current circumstances into a realm of eternity. You're my Lord and my God. God. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love him? He is far above all. He is far above everything we could ever imagine. He has powers beyond measure. He has reach beyond measure. He, as I say, engineered the stars and the universe, yet he knows every hair on our head, and even I don't know every hair on my head. I've got some extra ones in my cat ear somewhere. I don't know. He knows me better than I know myself. He's God, and he cares for you. And he loves you. He loves you. Oh, hallelujah. And he comes to introduce this forgiveness, in so that the forgiveness becomes part of our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.